Hello, everyone. And it's a great time to be here together. We've got some wonderful things to talk about today and a magnificent blessing that lays ahead of us. So we even bless the mischief makers. May they find something better, more important to do in order to join those of us hoping and praying for the best, so that we can actually have a better world. Thank you so much, Nancy, for being here, taking care of this. And I had a great call with Nancy before we started, with Nancy and her husband, Gary. And we've got some wonderful plans for our community and our future. And we've just got nothing but the best sweet blessings for everybody today. I do want to pause for just a few moments to relay a little bit of sad news. I was the first thing I read on my messages this morning when I woke up is that our dear friend Mara passed away yesterday. So we are probably receiving more blessings from her right now than we could even send to her. But I do want to just have a moment of silence to thank her for her participation in our community for so many years. At least, I would say, at least 25 years. She was with us on just about everything. She was a minister. She was ordained a priest in the church, a blessing giver, and just the most devoted friend we could have, praying for us, helping anyone who needed her through their troubles, their hardships, and celebrating their joys. So, Mara, I hope that this day is a most sacred day for you, where you are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. We miss you. We love you, and we look forward to being with you again. So let's just take a few minutes of silence and remember your experiences with Mara. Amen. While we're on the subject of missing beloved community and church members, there's someone else I want to mention. I believe I did mention it back in the summer when he passed, but maybe not everybody knew about it. We celebrated the transition of our devoted minister and priest of the church, Lawrence Obi, who was born in Nigeria, became an American citizen, and worked with the University of North Carolina college team for his whole professional career. And he helped us to set up our study group in Nigeria, which he actually hoped to return someday and establish as a bricks and mortar church, because he really wanted to serve the wonderful spirit of devotion that so many people have in Nigeria under great oppression. And they do it with a spirit of joy and courage. And I know that that ministry will continue. He left a legacy to another young man. He's in his middle years right now. But to me, I know him as a young man because I first talked to him when he was 25 years old. But he's a devout leader of that group and hopes someday to establish it as an official church in his country. In the meantime, I might have the pleasure of meeting him because he's hoping to come to the United States to study. And he is ordained as a minister, but he needs more study before we can take him a little more up the ladder of responsibility. And we hope that that will happen. and that this can, that Lawrence's contribution to our church can become and extend itself into a tangible one for years to come. And there are so many others we miss, and we celebrate them and feel their presence with us, especially during the blessing. I feel so many of them actually do show up. They've got it on their calendar. I don't have a clue what a calendar looks like in timeless space, but they've got one because they do show up, especially Tony, because I always see images of sun, moon, and stars when Tony appears. He's such a riot in his study of the galaxy and the larger creation of this universe. Well, Nancy, is there anything you would like to say as an opening invocation to our group?
Just so glad to be here. I don't know. Today's just been a remarkable, special day. It's been wonderful and miraculous, and I don't know if there's just some extra special, palpable sense of God's love pouring forth. So I just hope everybody's open to that and feeling that in their hearts today, because it's here. And just glad to be here. So touched by Mara. Never met her in flesh, but gosh, she had such an impact on my heart. And so I know that she affected all of us in so many beautiful ways. So thank you for letting us know. And then we can just celebrate her life today. So other than that, I just want to say hi, everybody. So happy to be here. What a privilege and a blessing. So, yeah, that's about it today for me.
Okay, my dear. Well, I know Yeshua is hovering over us right now, and got some words to eagerly share with everyone. We always look forward to that, and we have a wonderful message today. We are extending for the last week our study of the heart is your higher intelligence. We've been on this chapter for several weeks now, and I think it's been a wonderful experience. If you've never read Love Without End, this might be actually a good chapter to just fast forward and read, because in many ways, this whole chapter is a summary of Love Without End, because everything in Love Without End is really about how our heart, our sacred heart, not our emotional heart so much as the sacred indwelling heart where we connect with our Creator, unfolds the love that we are into our life, and we become a living presence of what this book, Love Without End, came to invoke and present to you as living possibilities for your life and your eternal life. So we join in a joyous celebration of everything we've touched upon in this chapter. We will cover the three final dimensions of this chapter, because it's time we wrap this up and move on to the next one. Yeshua has been pulling, randomly pulling chapters out according to his focus on what he wants you to spiritually attain and understand. And he has a special chapter pulled out for next week. The Sunday before our national election, it's called Your Rights and Freedoms. And it's a very important chapter to celebrate and understand. So we will move from this into understanding our rights and freedoms within the human community, the human family, and as a child of God. As a an expression of the Holy Spirit. So continue with us. It's just only going to get better. And I would just like to go ahead and get us started right now. We have some important dedications to make in the beginning of our time today. It was time well spent, but we need to move into the reason we're here today, which is to learn more about Yeshua's sacred message to us. The fifth dimension of intelligence is honesty. I think a quick survey of the news or internet or cable news, cable network presentations would tell you without too much hesitation that this is the place where most of our higher intelligence is breaking down right now. It's one we need to really, really focus on. Now, you can't go out and correct someone else's dishonest spin on life, but you can create your life as an expression of honesty. Each one of us that does that will create a ray of light into our community and our collective understanding that will break through the chaos and the muck that we're wading through right now. And it's bad. It really is bad. And it's hard to make a good decision when so much is far off center and distorted. For delusions of power that really contain no power at all. Let us begin by remembering that one of the things God did not delegate to humanity was power. That is the main thing that Lucifer wanted, was power. And that's what disqualified him from being an influence or even a member of the human race. He was exiled because the only thing he was interested in was power. If power has not been delegated to you or to others by God, they cannot speak the truth. If they want to be here in the spirit of service, repair, betterment, creation of a better world, living in community with one another, then that's not power, my friends. That takes actually a great deal of surrender. A surrender into what can I do next to make you happy? Yeshua did that to the ultimate degree. He completely surrendered everything for our happiness, for our redemption, and for our immortal life. And he claimed no power for doing it, although he was given all power because of it. So his words speak very deeply and penetrate to the core of our heart when he speaks about honesty. Before we begin, one more thing from me, and then I will only comment on the sidelines after that, but one more thing from me is that honesty has its root meaning in honor. When you think of honesty and how to know it, think of how or if you could honor what you said or presented. If down the road you were asked for it, ask about it again. Would you sway into, oh, I didn't really mean that. Oh, that was just the way it was at the time. Oh, no, You're not honoring anything. Honesty is what you can honor from now till the end of time. Okay? Did the sun come up in your part of the world today? Okay. If given a calendar 10 years from now and asked about this day, could you say again, yes, the sun did come up this day? There would be no waver on it, no swerve, no spin. You would honor it. More than anything else, for our leadership, we need someone who can honor the people of the United States. Not the other instruments of power, but the people who can honor the people of the United States. And that means you. If you can vote for yourself, then you're voting for the right person. And I don't have anything more to say about that. Let's just see what Yeshua has to offer about the subject of honesty. Okay? This is him. The practice of honesty will reveal the power of innocent perception. Innocent perception was the sweetest part, and this is me talking now. Innocent perception was the sweetest part of all his teaching because it required nothing more than being alert with eyes wide open like a child watching a caterpillar. He said that innocent perception was a crucial factor in all new findings, because we must set aside our filtering concepts in order to discover what has not yet been revealed. It is also through innocent perception that we come into the presence of God. And this is Yeshua now back. This is why I said, you must become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. Without honesty, there is no such thing as higher intelligence. In many ways, honesty is the summation of other dimensions of intelligence. For how may intelligence even be accessed except through the practice of honesty? How can intelligence be applied to life unless a situation is honestly evaluated? It is unfortunate that honesty is regarded primarily as a guideline for morality rather than an aspect of intelligence. Honesty brings solutions to every problem of life, as well as science, law, and social management. Honesty begins with the most simple question, what is it? Followed by a direct, uncensored answer of what it is. The most dangerous person ever to deceive is yourself. For in doing so, you destroy your basis for honesty. Honesty is the foundation of intelligence, while dishonesty is the foundation of stupidity. Therefore, the first step for any science, study, or project is to establish the basis for honesty and honest progressions. Compared to that, theories are secondary. If researchers had spent as much time establishing foundations for honesty as they have in proving theories, learning would have advanced a great deal further. Okay, there is more to what he said about honesty, but we couldn't squeeze in three dimensions of intelligence all in one study session by recording them all. So I'm going to count on you reading this again from your book, or you could listen to it if you have the tapes or the USB, the recordings of the, it's there in the initial recordings. This is one of the things he spoke that was so important that it was included from the very beginning. But I want you to read the rest of this because it will sink deeply into your heart about how to know what is and is not true. The sixth dimension of intelligence is justice. Justice is the foundation of all civilization and all cultural intelligence. When justice ceases, civilization crumbles. Justice is a great deal more than morality and the execution of law. It is also fair play. Justice is the golden rule of fair exchange. Exchange is the basis of life in the universe, from the most elemental particles to the most complex human situations. Justice is the intelligence of exchange and balance. When balance is maintained, health prevails. This is true in all things, from a healthy person to a healthy planet. Through practicing balance and fair exchange, you will develop wisdom in your discourses with life and with others. Your instincts will alert you to the validity of ideas as to whether a project will be fruitful or whether a job is right for you. You will also know how to determine fairness in wages and pricing. All things return to balance eventually. Being a wise and effective custodian of those balances is the hallmark of justice. There's a special dimension of intelligence in the heart which allows this to happen. The intelligence of justice brings us to understand and care for the natural balance in all things. Considering the vastness of the universe and the complexity with which our involvements are intertwined, how can we always know the greater forces of equilibrium, therefore giving and forgiving, becoming essential elements of intelligent living? This is where kindness enters. Not only an expression of grace, but also as intelligence. Perhaps the greatest of all. We're going to move into that next intelligence in just a moment. For 1 minute, I want to just add a little summation on balance. I was amused once when I was reading, about the life of Albert Einstein. Not only does his science fascinate me, although most of it I cannot mathematically grasp, not being a mathematician myself, but his life and his reasoning about life really, really fascinated me so much. And someone, an interviewer once asked him, Dr. Einstein, if you were going to be born again, what would you be in your next life? And he said, I would be a businessman. Well, of course, everyone laughed and said, why? And he said, well, the whole of the universe is just about balance. And that's where it enters into human conduct of civilization, keeping it all in balance. That is something I will never forget, that one of the greatest minds that has ever walked upon the earth would express his amazement and wonder of the universe in terms that any of us could understand and apply to life as we live it. And I want to add just a little more to that. It's about giving and receiving. Balance is about sharing. It's about giving to others that which we can no longer use, and graciously accepting what others would like to give us, whether it's material goods or wisdom, experience, understanding. You know, the young can give hope to the elders, and the elders can give wisdom to the young. What a wonderful exchange that is. I would just like to recommend that in the hours or days ahead, when you read this chapter again, you will take that concept of balance and just find out how many ways of life it actually applies to for you. How many ways can you balance life to the betterment of your existence? And how would balancing your life solve the many problems you have? In fact, I find it a great way to get to the bottom of analyzing a problem. You know, actually discovering what a problem is about half the solution. And most of the time, I find that something is out of balance. Kind of amazing the way that works. But this is true of health. The chemistry of our body is out of balance. It's true in relationships. We've been giving too much, receiving too little. It's true in social conduct. And it's also true in our prospect of life. If we believe, and the reason I say if is because I really don't believe that everyone does believe that our universe was created in goodness of form and spirit. I do. I do believe that humanity is created in goodness as the spirit and form and potential. Even though we have misbehaved a lot, and that misbehavior has often piled up upon us in ways that it's hard to release. It's hard to square up, shall we say. Okay. But I do believe in the basic goodness of all things. And this is what, you know, when we're going to go balance something, we've got to know where balance occurs. Now, this is just me talking, but after many conversations with him about this subject, it's just like with your body. If you're going to balance your acid and alkaline pH, your pH, you know, your acid and alkaline reading. Just a second. Okay. I had a little cough I had to let go of, and I didn't want it recorded or in your ears. Okay, back. If you're going to balance, you got to know where the balance point is. It's not zero. You would be being carried out on a gurney if it was zero. It's somewhere. Where is that point where alkaline and acid are in perfect balance for your body? You've got to have a goal. You know, and let's look at another relationship that is on the surface, it can look very out of balance, and that is the relationship between parents and children. Parents do so much for their children. Their children can't even, I mean, even if they're good at doing their chores, it's nothing compared to what the parents do for them. But what the children can do and should do is bring hope and future and joy to their parents. You have to understand where that balance point is in every relationship. Why do we have children? Because we love them. And we want to have them in our life for the joy they bring to us, for the future they bring to us, for the grandchildren they will bring to us. There's so many ways of balancing out. They don't have to earn money and support us. That's not the balance point between parents and children. There is a balance point, and you've got to find it in order to know what you're shooting for. Otherwise, there will be no meaningful acquirement of center. Where is the center? You don't know where it is. Discovering the center is actually how Albert Einstein was able to establish light as the commonality of everything, because everything has the same center, and it is light. Okay. In other words, so there he was, dealing with balance and seeking, hopefully, if he lives again, at least in physical, I'm sure he's alive somewhere, but in physical form, he would be a businessman, because that's where you look for. Business is not just about making money. It's about providing a service, goods, happiness to other people. And you've got to know where it balances out. Where is that balance point? And finding it. When we believe basically in goodness, then we can understand why the founders of our country establishes one of our rights and freedoms. A man or woman or child, anyone, any human, is innocent until proven guilty. In other words, the burden of proof has to lie on the side of guilt, not on the side of innocence. There's no such thing as you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent. Although, unfortunately, that's the way it is in dictatorships. And it's another, when you can't find the center of balance, that's actually quite a good way of knowing how justice is going to be applied or should be applied, and how justice is a proper extension of honesty. And in believing that there is a center point of goodness in all things, it leads us to the seventh dimension of intelligence, which is kindness. All of these dimensions of higher intelligence sequentially move one to another. And we're here at the culmination of this journey through the Sacred Heart and its magnificent intelligence. And now I'm reading from Yeshua. Kindness is not just an act of charity to the young, to the vulnerable, or the needy. It is the will of God for everyone. Your goodness is strengthened through your kindness. It is the will of the Creator that you know and use that power to be a wise custodian of what you have been given. Through acts of kindness, your own abundance increases, for you have multiplied the ways in which your giving may be returned to you. Just as an aside, okay, it's an important thing to tie into what I was saying about justice. Yeshua made many references to you give as you receive, about your bread on the water, as you sow, so you reap. In other words, the balance of giving and receiving. And in a way, we might say, well, that's mostly the intelligence of justice, and probably rightly so. But what he has presented here about goodness is you will multiply the ways in which your giving may be returned to you through acts of kindness. Acts of kindness help you to express the inner goodness that you are to the basic fundamental goodness of others. In other words, goodness to goodness. You can turn away a hostile person with an act of kindness. And maybe their hostility wasn't meant to be life-threatening, but it could have been a personal injury or fear, abuse, and you just turn it away with an act of kindness. In Love Without Ends, where I talk about my trip on the subway through the Bronx to pick up my puppy. Admittedly so for them. They had a name, and they did their thing. Once I was left on the car by myself, they surrounded me and just began to stare at me. And I was the first to speak up, and I decided to speak up in a voice I thought they would maybe like. I just said, "Howdy," like a cowboy from a John Wayne movie. Okay. And it touched something childish in them. We progressed from that point into me asking about them, finding out about them, caring about them. And then the tide turned. There was a tipping point when they began to care about me. One of them said, "What are you doing down here by yourself?" Well, I knew at that point I had reached somebody in the depths of their potential for goodness and kindness. And it all turned out extremely well. If you want to read about it, it's in Love Without End. And I proceeded that day with their escort to a taxi and then on to pick up my puppy. And took a taxi all the way back home on the admonition of the guys and the admonition of the taxi driver and the kennel where I picked up my dog. They said, "No way are you taking the subway back through the Bronx. You were blessed and lucky to get through it." So, but it just a little bit of kindness can change everything. You know, sometimes someone can be hostile or unfriendly to you because maybe you've got everything they wish they had and they don't. They're mad at you. They're just mad at you for being there. And you haven't done anything to them. Maybe you can make them glad that you're there by doing something kind to them. I've turned things around a lot in my life just with a little, with a smile and a little piece of kindness. I played Risk to the hilt in my life. And without realizing I was practicing this theory, I was in, I went to graduate school in New Orleans, and I lived just a block off of the St. Charles Street trolley, which I took every day to the university and back home at night. I was coming back home very late one night. Should have been a no-no, because I was just actually two blocks off of the most dangerous district in New Orleans. And I was forewarned, but, you know, I've always felt angels were hovering around me. I just didn't act in fear any part of my life. When I was 6 years old and got my first pony, I just went around to her back legs, picked up her hoof, and cleaned it out without ever a thought that she could have kicked me. When my dad saw that, he froze. But he didn't do anything to startle her because he knew what the danger might be. He just quietly moved over, pulled me away, and said, "Don't ever do that again." So I have been one of the most trusting people who's recently walked on this earth. And I just left the trolley on my way home, just crossed St. Charles Avenue, when I was approached by a young man who put his arm around my shoulders from the backside and the other arm pinning my arm to my body and turning me around. And I had no idea what his intention was, but he looked at me and he said, "I'm not interested in your purse." And all of a sudden, cold chills went through my body. And I just looked at him and I said, "Please don't do that. Please, just don't do that. You're a good person and I'm a good person. Why don't we just sit down and talk?" And he let me go. That's all it took. I wasn't afraid of him. One of the most insidious forms of judgment we make is fear. When I used to own 8 acres in the hill country, just outside of Austin. And in that part of the world, it's not uncommon in an undeveloped area to come across a rattlesnake coiled up by a tree. And I walked, sometimes I would come across one, and they would be coiled up. And when they're coiled up, they're really very dangerous because they can spring. That coil allows them to spring and launch right into you. And I would just stop and do nothing and just think thoughts like, "Oh my goodness, you're really beautiful." And they would break the coil and slither away. If I had expressed any kind of fear to those snakes, I would have been bitten. One is because I would have been enabled whatever desire they had for power, but I would have enabled their reason to be afraid of me. You know, usually when we are afraid of something, it's because it's afraid of us. Usually. And that goes all the way back to the other stories I've told you, the young man as I got off the trolley, the kids on the subway. I'm sure they were afraid of not me as a person, but what I represented. You know, the white middle class. They're probably afraid of me. I wasn't afraid of them. And there was no basis for them to be afraid of me. The meltdown happened so easily. And so there's a lot of survival intelligence involved in kindness. And that's what I'm getting to. We think that it's only survival for the ones we care about because someone's hungry. We notice that at the grocery store and we pay for the groceries. That is a definite thought worthy act of kindness. But also we've provided another act of kindness that you may not have thought about. And that is now they are less afraid of the ones who have money. Maybe being less afraid, they would be more able and willing to go seek a job or work around people who have a little bit of money to pay an employee. As we relinquish fear, the whole world becomes better. Fear is the greatest block to love. It's what keeps us from expressing and being the love that we are. So I'm going to continue and wrap up with Yeshua's words about kindness. Kindness is not talked about much in the world today, and few have any understanding of what it really is. There's even a disregard for kindness as an act of propitiation made by the strong to the weak, a compensation. Just a moment. Okay. Let me start that again. I had a computer glitch that lighted up my screen. Okay, kindness is not talked about much in the world today, and few have any understanding what it really is. There's even a disregard for kindness as an act of propitiation made by the strong to the weak, a compensation for their dominance. Thus, many are embarrassed to accept kindness. If you contemplate kindness in your heart, however, you will find it to be a far more interesting subject than that. The world regards kindness as a compensation for life or a gentle protection from its harsher realities. But that's the world. Actually, kindness is the heart of living. It is what makes life bearable, meaningful, and delicious. You may begin by asking yourself this question. And this is Yeshua asking you. Okay. What would be the greatest kindness I could do for another? Then what is the kindest thing I could do for myself? Be specific. That is the key to unlocking the intelligence of kindness. Generalities about kindness may lead to lovely sentiments that are inapplicable to your circumstance. You may be surprised with the answers you receive to direct and probing questions. This is why platitudes don't work and they don't contain any intelligence at all. The intelligence of kindness is really asking, what do you need? And how can I help you? That's it. It's very simple. and very direct. What we covered today was From Love Without End, Jesus Speaks, pages 187 to 192. So I hope you will, there's more here. It actually, what we covered is spread over 5 pages. And what we read is about the equivalent of 2 pages. So there's more. I really suggest you go read the rest of it. But for now, we're going to take our attention off of study and just be the community we are. So, Nancy, I can't see the board. I have no idea what's there. You?
I can't.
Up on board.
We don't have. We had some. Right. We had some folks, but they're not there now, but they're welcome to join. I think we're just marinating in that beautiful reflection about everything that he shared with you about the heart and those intelligences. But, yes, community, come on in. Any questions or correlations in your life or blessings you received, even just now while listening, we'd love to hear from you. But in the meantime, Glenda, I just, you know, I think about it circles back to the Beatitudes and the blessings. When you said, when you were talking about justice and equilibrium and balance, that was like, blessed are those who live in moderation. And I was like, wow, you know, and that sharing and that caring for each other, it comes around to that. It just keeps, you know, all these intelligences are such confirmation about how we can know God through living.
Yeah.
And, you know, having context for living, you know, the male-female relationship with family and the masculine and feminine within ourselves, you know, about balance and equilibrium. There's so many things that he just reinforces in so many places and, you know, just about honesty. So I would encourage everybody to, you know, use that, you know, table of contents, not the table of contents, the index and dig around because it just connects really wonderful dots. You know, it really does. And we do have a caller, so I am going to open.
Okay.
I guess it looks like it's Stormy. Hi, Stormy.
Well, I'd just like to say that I honestly really do love you all.
Oh, great. Well, we love you too. And that's genuine.
You know, and that's how I've lived my life. Everywhere that I go, I've had my ups and downs. I've grew up in learning military combat at age 14. So I could handle anybody, but I preferred just to smile and say hello. We don't need to go to blows. We can just say, hello. You know, that was fun and dandy for the time, but I grew well out of that and actually became quite ashamed about what I could do because I learned I had angelic energy. And when you have that kind of energy, you don't have the right to physically lord over somebody in an instance. Instead, you bring in that angelic love and understanding and knowing the bigger picture of being able to honestly see and feel the heart of everyone that I meet, every building that I go into. We all do this anyhow. I'm just so aware of it and I'm so well practiced in it. My father taught me, trained me on being a spy on how to
really
see everything. Yes, really. I had extensive training from my father's military career. And I knew how to stand next to somebody and keep my energy so low that you couldn't even know I was there. That was some angelic, training for, being able to be there and not be seen or be there and be seen. And mm-hmm. it's important that we see everybody for who they truly are. You know, Saddam Hussein, who the world really hates, I love him with all of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It touches me because I know who he really is. And I know what mm-hmm. the world made of him. And if no one else in the world loved him at the time of his death, I did, and I still do. And what a gift that I'm able to do things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When you remember who you are, you really remember.
And, you know, whether it's this chapter or any other chapter in Love Without End, it's all really, every part of it is just focusing on one central message that is in the book of Genesis. At the beginning, everything was created in goodness.
Mm-hmm.
God is good, and everything he created is good. It's good. And everything that is, he created. And so find the goodness in it if you want a connection with God. Find the goodness.
And
if you can't find the goodness in something or someone else, then move on. Let go of it and say, well, this is not my experience right now. I need to move on and move on. Find what you can see the goodness in, the person you can see the goodness in, and take that into your life and your consciousness, and then take more into your life and consciousness where you can see the goodness in it. And do that until your life is completely immersed or surrounded or just engulfed in the goodness of God.
I was in the emergency room a month ago for my kidney and dehydrated, finding out what was going on. And the black doctor from Africa who had seen me years before, he says, I remember you. And after he talked about the CAT scan, it was the end of the day for him and everybody else there, he did not want to leave the room. He just felt the presence of goodness within me. And we talked about a few things, and we connected, and I told him, you and I have known each other for thousands of years. This is just another one of our meetings. And he truly, truly agreed with that. He just felt genuine, honest connection that it was just, you know, it's just like this blessing call, that the energy that comes in for this blessing, that Holy Spirit that connects us and makes us just stand in each other's presence and want to talk about a few good things. And I told him, I said, well, we need to quit meeting this way, me in the emergency room. I had him chuckle a few times. And, he still had an African accent. And I said, well, go learn what Texas twang is. And he's actually going to go find out what Texas twang is. I said, he couldn't say Harris. He said Horace. And I also told him about a boy called Sailboat that I talk about, that what happens in that movie is what I do when I sing one of my crystal bow notes. And he wrote it down, and he was going home to listen to it. So even in my pain and agony, God is working within us when we are honest with ourselves.
Exactly. Yes,
now,
exactly. You've got it.
I honestly needed attention. And I went to a place that could attend to what needed to take care of. So, you know, it's just that honesty that really gets us through every day.
Exactly.
Thanks.
And it's actually very specific. Very, very specific. You know, honesty is what we look at because it's real. It's what works because it's real. It's what we give to one another. And they can receive it because we share it. Honesty is like, well, in the physical universe, the constant is light. Well, honesty is that constant that we share within humanity.
It's
Yeah, exactly. And often we do equate honesty to light. You know, we talk, we often equate it to light because, like, just as light is the constant of all material creation, honesty is the constant of all consciousness creation. Without honesty, there is no consciousness. It's all just delusion and spinning. It's not conscious. And where there's not conscious, you can guarantee there will also not be conscience.
And therein, when I know a truth, Linda, I smile.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. That's good, Stormy. Oh, and I want to thank everybody for really, really getting on with the program of letting me know by email the blessings you need and how I can support you in prayer, because it gives me an opportunity to prepare for understanding your need. It gives me an opportunity to continue taking up your name and your request in my prayers during the week. So it's not just a Sunday thing. It's a wonderful new dimension that we added to our Sunday blessing. And also, even though many people really do want to hear what you need, it does take time to cover all the requests in a blessing call. And just as a discretionary call to reason and logic, I think you would benefit more to study Love Without End than taking the time for a blessing request that can come to me more easily and more permanently through email. So thank you for doing that. And I noticed that our attendance in the early part of our blessing call has increased by doubles since we started doing that. The way it was before, people would start coming in about halfway through because they wanted to be here for the blessing, but they didn't want to be here for all the casual and random discussions that we were making. So we made a distinct improvement.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that it's almost like a pre-blessing. You know, hearing the words, hearing the message, studying together is a pre-blessing before the blessing. So we get a good double dose, which is nice. And I would like to just add to Stormy's comment about, you know, honesty. I think it's so thrilling that Yeshua, it's so paradoxical. I guess that's how truth works. But, you know, he said that chaos does not foster honesty, but honesty can resolve chaos. And so we just have to look at things and be honest. And I think we can have a glorious future if we can really do that. So, well, Stormy, thank you. We have another caller, and I'm going to open her line. Is this Eugenia?
Yes.
Eugenia?
A little comment. Because,
hi, Eugenia.
I just want to thank you for all that. The very first lesson I learned, almost I will claim that directly from Yeshua. That was like 1999 when I first read the book. Get down to the honesty thing. I pray. I said, how do I get that intelligence of honesty? And immediately right after that, I saw my own soul, and he shined a light through the soul. And I could see my soul with light in there, but little dots here and there, I know that was my shortcoming, was something I need to improve, or I need to correct. And that over the years, and every time I things happening to me, immediately I know what I need to change and what I need to learn. And that was my...
That's great.
That was my lesson on honesty. So I just let you know,
it's
so important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It always comes back to us, Kenya. Honesty always comes back to us. And it's about what we can see and what we convey. On the seventh day, God rested. Not because he was through creating, not because he was retired, not because he went away and left us alone, but because the time had come to create through being, not through doing. And so we become more godly when we are accountable for our being. What are we being? How are we being in the world? How are we being to others? And we take on more of the godly energy that is being directed toward us and express it more into the world when we can be accountable for who, what, and how are we being. All my friends, let me tell you, no matter, you can't do your way to heaven. You can't. You can't change the world by doing. Not even if you were the richest person on earth. You might only be able to do a few things that are, and maybe some of them are, would be magnificent, but it's not going to, the way you create is through your being. Who, what, and how are you being? How are you showing up in the presence of others to reveal yourself? Can you be vulnerable? Can you allow others to see you? Can you surrender to their ability and need to be with you and see you exactly as you are? And it's a big challenge. Not everybody is up to it, but it's the most worthy challenge you could have, and that's what you dealt with that day, Genia.
Yep,
that
exactly.
Is extremely, extremely commendable, because it means you got it. You got what you need to do. And whenever we can do that, our life just becomes better. And by the way, my friend, you're going to receive a package in email probably tomorrow. Genia has been on so many books. She's going to be the editor for the new book, The Only Way Out Is Up. And we are ready for our editor. So I have reached a milestone in the creation of our newest book. My goal is to have it available for Thanksgiving, because it will be a present to us for the goodness in our soul.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Genia. We do have a final caller here, Glenda. I'm going to open Susan's line. Hi, thank you, Genia. We love you. Susan, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank both of you for what you do, and everybody who's on the call. Also, blessings to Maura. For some reason, I couldn't remember her name last Sunday, and I put it out to my guides and angels and spirits, and they said, Maura. I said, that's right, that's right. So mentioning Eva, I immediately went to, to Maura. And so it's interesting that I should. And I went to look for her number, and I said, no, you don't have that anymore. Something changed. She was living with her daughter. Something changed, so I didn't have her number. But I remember connecting with her and wishing her well. And then of course to hear that she passed on, you know, certainly I send a blessing to her. I'm sure she's just fine. But,
she's just fine.
Oh, absolutely. Without a question, without a doubt. Those are people I had the honor of knowing from, as a result of COVID, you know, talking every day. I mean, mm-hmm. Tony Byrne and Desmond, I had the absolute honor of getting closer to people I would otherwise perhaps not. And, so I'm very grateful for that. But when I think about honesty, I know I've been doing 12-step work for 50 years. And I know that recovery is scant without that ability to crack that ego and break down that, you know, fear of looking at myself honestly. And I really feel that there, you know, that the recovery can't be fully reached unless that starts to happen. And I'm not saying it's easy. And there's a lot of surrendering, a lot of trust, a lot that goes into, you know, doing this. But the recovery wouldn't be attained without that ability. And it has to be maintained. I mean, again, talking from my own experience, because my relationship with God is always going to be that temptation to go up center, if you will, go, you know, on the branch of a tree instead of in the trunk, and move into areas where I get into self-deception, and that's why I love the dedication, because it addresses that so, it drives it home so clearly, that to be aware of moving away from the truth and into illusion and self-deception. And it's got to be maintained for me to, you know, have that relationship with God, which is the single most important thing in my life without exception. So, I mean, doing this work with you and doing this work with my sisters and brothers, mostly sisters in OA, is crucial to my life. And I feel blessed for that. So, you know, this is such important work, and as far as the election, may it turn out by divine, by what God would have it be. And I pray for that every day. Because I realize
that
the dangerous situation we're in. And I'm not telling anybody who to vote for, but we cannot be denied that we are in a really dangerous position. And I won't deny
it. Yes, we are.
And I will stand up and say it. Because that's what I'm meant to do. So I want to put that out there.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate your light and your testimony to the power of honesty in living a noble life. It can't be noble without honesty.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you all so much. So glad you're in my life, guys. You have no clue. I am.
Okay. Well, we're here. And, you know, not even death can shake us away.
That's right.
That's right. We love you, Susan. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Glenda, our board is clear.
Okay. Let's move it to mute. Put it on mute. And then we will. Oh, Nancy, you're getting so good at this. Thank you. Gee, I could just go to sleep on the job, couldn't I? But I wouldn't, because I love being here. This is a joy I look forward to every week, just being here with you and an opportunity to share a moment riding on the buckboard with Yeshua. Not sure what his mode of travel was. I think it's mostly by feet, just by sandals. But anyway, however he wants to travel, I'm going to be by his side. That's what I've decided for my life and my eternity. So we want to be blessed along our way, regardless of where you are going or deciding to be, how you want to be. We want you to be blessed because you were created in the goodness of God. And may that goodness shine throughout your life. And may you have places to shine your light that really appreciate you and shine light back upon you, upon your life. That you may be in a place of sharing, of balance, of justice and kindness, as we've talked about today. And of course, always love. You being the love that you are and recognizing the other sources of love that are present and available in your life that can help you to have a richer, more fulfilled life. Whatever stage of life you're in, whatever you're going through, and there are people on this call in every conceivable stage of life, including being not yet born. So, including those who possibly will transition shortly. Every stage of life is presented here because on the journey through this world, it's a brief journey. In the youth of our time, when we're looking ahead to maybe 60, 70 years ahead, it seems like we're going to be here forever. Okay, how am I going to spend my time? What am I going to do? And we seek a different kind of blessing. We seek support from our parents, our community, our peers, and opportunities to grow and learn, develop our talents and apply them to life to accomplish and compete and win and love and serve and have families. You know, our goals change throughout the course of life. But the one thing that never changes is however it comes to us, may it be a blessing. Getting money is not always a blessing. Really. You may think it would be, and perhaps it would be for you, but across the board, no, it's not always a blessing. Having radiant good health usually is a blessing, but sometimes people have accomplished the greatest ascendancy of the soul when the soul had to create their life due to complications of health. So there's not any one thing materially that guarantees the blessing. The blessing comes from our union with God, our union with the Holy Spirit, and the rightness we have with our own soul. That's what we're doing in the blessing, is creating that straight line, putting it back, so that it's, well, when I was growing up, my father was in construction, and we didn't have electronic tools for determining the straight line from ceiling to floor or any other straight line that we were positioning an aspect of construction to. So what we would do is we would hang a stone on a string. And however that string fell, that was the straight line. And we would line everything up to the straight line. Well, that's kind of what we're doing here. We're accepting all of the needs you might have, all the challenges, maybe points of unhappiness or struggle you might have. And that's your stone at the end of the string. We're going to tie a stone around that heaviness that might be in your life. Let the gravity of the situation pull a straight line down from heaven. And flowing down on that straight line is the grace of God, the energy of healing and fulfillment and direction and guidance from the Holy Spirit, and the love of Yeshua to walk beside you. And perhaps a whole cotillion of angels to surround you and just be your companions as you go through whatever you need to go through. We get a crumpled line so often in life. It's really kind of my best way. Let's just say somebody picked up a stone and put it up on a shelf and the whole line crumpled. It went off center. It couldn't define its upper source, its upper connection. And it crumpled up and it wilted. And all the stone could say is, I don't have a way out. I don't know what to do. Somebody comes along or some situation comes along, takes the stone off the shelf and drops it. And we go, oh no, now I've dropped the only thing I thought I had on the shelf. How am I going to survive? Well, actually what happened is it straightened out the line. This is not exactly the way Neil Donald Walsh described it, but sort of very close to it. When he found himself from being a successful businessman and inspirational teacher, he wound up sleeping on a park bench. He was homeless. He lost everything. And it felt like to him, he had lost everything. The stone fell from the shelf where it was just crumpled. And the fact is, what he discovered is, when I thought I was doing just okay, I really wasn't okay. I was actually quite confused about what to do with my life. And when the stone fell, well, it created a straight line between myself and God. And I began to talk to God. That's how we got the book, Conversations with God. Whether it would be exactly the way you would regard the message in your conversations with God, it doesn't matter. What matters is it was sincere and honest for him. That's what matters. And it matters that he pulled the string down and he felt a straight line up to his source, to the source of his being. And he was able to give us a rendition of his experience and how perhaps to find that for ourselves. So what we do in our blessing on Sunday is we just allow you to be there as you are. Whatever's bothering you is welcome. You're okay. Everything is fine. No matter how much it hurts or confuses you or feels not quite right to you, it's all right. It's part of your experience. We accept it. We don't judge you. We don't even say we have to fix you, because that's between you and God. We just say, come on, be with us and receive the Holy Spirit. Be with us. Receive the grace of God and the love of Christ. The only thing we have to do to prepare for that is to make you a little more ready for receiving. Because what happens when things are not going so well for us, or the string is crumpled up on a shelf and not flowing like it should, is we become closed and defensive. We don't want to accept, we wouldn't accept help from an angel. We don't want anybody's advice because we think they're just going to judge me, or they're going to be wrong, or they don't know what I'm even talking about because they haven't been here. And we create layers and layers of defenses. And that's what we want to do to help you just for a moment, just drop your defenses and receive. There's nobody there but you and God. And that's actually one of the benefits of being in a blessing that's not in a crowd of people. No one's watching you. No one's comparing you to them. It's just you and your Creator. You and Yeshua. He loves you. The Holy Spirit is in you and through you. And your Father has accorded you the grace of eternity. So just be there. Let it happen. Let go of whatever ego defenses you have. And let's start right now by getting your body out of any rigid pose it might have fallen into. Because, you know, just sitting here for an hour listening, we can cross our arms, cross our legs. We can even clutch our fists at something that makes us mad. Let go. Open your hands. Okay. Move your legs. Move your arms. Okay. Stretch your fingers. Stretch your toes. If you can stand, stand up. And then extend a leg a little bit on one side and a little bit on the other. Then if you can lift your foot forward so it bends up toward your shin, that's great because it's going to stretch your calf. Okay. And your calf contains a lot of blood supply and nerve conductivity to your feet and your knees and your upper body. So just do that as much as you can. And if you can stand, make a little windmill out of your leg. First one and then another. It doesn't have to be, it could be a six inch windmill. But what's good about it is that it's going to rotate your hip. And that's very important for getting circulation both up and down from your upper body to your lower body. All right. And now next, we're going to take a very deep breath. Just breathe in as far as you can. Lower that diaphragm. And then breathe up into your sinus cavity. Hold it for a few seconds. And now release it. Okay. How does that feel? That should have been a good stretching exercise for your inner body. You know, just stretching, taking a deep breath massages the organs of your body because you're just going to push against them gently, let them know, hey, be happy. I'm here. let's have a breath. And actually, you are breathing for your whole body because when you take breath in, it will circulate. It just starts in your lungs. Doesn't end there. Your heart's going to send blood to pick up the oxygen or any other valuable gases that you have to pass into the rest of your body or eliminate the CO2 from your body. All of this is so important to take in and release energy. Okay, and when we take deep breaths, we also press against our shoulders, expanding our shoulder rotator cuffs. Extend your arms. I think most of you can do that. And make a windmill. Okay? Move around. Get that shoulder moving. And then bring the elbow up so that you touch your shoulders with your hands. Okay. Pull your shoulder down. That's good. First one. Now do it with the other. Move it around a little bit. Bend it up. Touch your shoulder. And move your shoulder down. Why? Because you're going to stretch your neck. And we have a lot of stress in the connection between our shoulders and our neck. And that's for a lot of reasons. One is because our head is really pretty heavy. That skull weighs a lot. And our neck is one of the most fragile organs in our body. You know, it just kind of walks on one leg, so to speak. So it's got a big job to hold up your head. And it carries that stress of doing that in your shoulders. So just moving your shoulders around helps to free up your neck. And then you turn your head to the left and to the right. And to, again, to the left and the right. And then to the up. Get your chin tilted up. Lean back and then tuck your chin into your neck so that you stretch the back of your neck really, really well. And that's going to feel good. Now, once more, tilt your chin up. Okay, so you stretch the front of your neck. And that actually stretches the sternum, which is a very, very important center point for your immune system. It's really important to stretch the sternum. That's another good reason to take deep breaths, because it moves. It moves your sternum up and down. You've probably all seen some videos of a gorilla beating on its chest. Or other people going into athletic contests and beating on their chest. Well, there's a reason they do that. That gets their lymphatic system moving. And it gets every other part of your immune system alive and awake. So it's a good thing to do. Just bring your arms around and beat on your sternum. Now, by the time we've done all of this, I hope you're noticing that it doesn't really matter if you're in any kind of defensive pose or not, because nothing and nobody's going to hurt you. You're just here to receive. And you may not feel everything, because a lot of it comes on very subtle waves of energy, but it will penetrate all of your defenses to all parts of your body and touch your heart and your soul. In days ahead, you will notice the blessing. For some of you, in minutes or hours ahead, you will notice the blessing. But it will always be there for you to retrieve and use when it's relevant. Okay? So, now we're just going to focus on our mindful breath, which you will do yourself. And it is noticing and counting to four as you exhale. And then just holding, not to breathe in, as you count to four, to just release and be in a state of release. Now inhale to the count of four. And hold it as you receive everything you've inhaled. Now continue that, and I will offer my prayers to Yeshua. Our Lord and Heavenly Brother, who also walks on all the pathways of life with us, to be here with us, to be the presence of God incarnate, assisting us in making decisions, in coping with challenges, and seeking for the best in our life and giving the best to others. We thank you for your gracious love and presence in your life. On behalf of all of those who don't know to ask, we ask for them as well. For we come to you as one family. We come to you as one united presence of humanity. All brothers and sisters, to inherit the earth and create upon it. At some point, somewhere, the kingdom of heaven. For now, we ask that you help each one of us attain and realize the kingdom of heaven within, that we may be all the goodness that our Creator put in us, that we can express our talents into our joint community for the benefit of ourselves and others, that we may give witness to the presence of God that is in each one of us. We ask that you bless the children, for they need to know more than anyone that they never left the kingdom of heaven. It is within them to never let go of it, to seek for the fullness of their life, to be in it or to find it or develop it further, that they may be unto creation the fullness of God's child. We ask that you feed the hungry and that you help all of the peacemakers in the world to do their job, not just adequately, but fully, to bring peace on earth. We pray for peace. We pray for abundance. We know abundance is here, but we pray that it may be accessible and available for each one to earn and acquire according to their need. And we ask, most of all, to be with you always. In your precious name, we submit our requests, our prayers, and our surrender into unity, that we may receive the blessings of our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and you. Amen. And forevermore, amen. Blessing givers, will you stand and join me to conduct this precious energy to everyone here to receive, and everyone that would seek blessings wherever they are. Let us begin.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now continue receiving it. And to do so, the best way is to be resting in bed or on a mat, on the floor, in the lawn, wherever you can be comfortable and horizontal. So that no part is more important than another. It's just you in a receiving position. Be blessed now and forever. And I look forward to hearing about your blessings next week. Bye-bye for now. Look forward to being with you again.